صلي على رسول الكريم. عند باتل اوف احد حضرت انس ابن النزر sees حضرت سعد رضي الله عنه and he asks him, where are you off to? And he says, Allah, I get the fragrance of Jannat from Uhud. When a Muslim works in the right way, then he ends the life also in the right way. He longs to meet Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala also longs to meet him. One of the Masnoon du'as is recorded in the Al-Hizb al-Azam. Allahumma habbib al-maut ila man ya'lamu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa mawlana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasuluk. So maut and death is not a thing for a Muslim to be afraid of. It is just a bridge to move on to the beloved. And most believers, Allah Ta'ala gives them a small, minuscule taste. When He gives them a taste of the next realm, then the taste of this world is lost. Everything becomes bland. That is so great, magnificent, excellent. My one Ustad, Mufti Nizamuddin Sahib, Rahmatullah, explains. It was his father-in-law, about a month or so before he could pass away. So he saw Hazrat Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in life. So there's just one glance at Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so magnificent, so great. He says he just lost the taste of life. Although he was a very wealthy person, everything, just that one glance on Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam life. So much, so overwhelming, so attractive, so beautiful, magnificent, and everything is forgotten. So one glimpse into the hereafter, and this whole world loses its taste. We think, because of our naivety and our limitations, we think that this is too much. This is what we need to strive for, this is what we need to work for. But just one step into the hereafter makes you forget all this. Our Zughanuddin, starting from Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, in fact before that Mujaddid al-Fasani, and then Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and then continuing on to the Ulama of Deoband, the whole idea was to preserve Deen, to propagate Deen and to preserve Deen. Whatever the context may have been, whatever the situation, circumstance, but in the circumstances that they were, the idea was to preserve Deen and to promote Deen. Preserve Deen and to promote Deen. In one zamana, they discovered that it was better for them to make jihad, and so they went on that line. The 1857 mutiny, then it was because of the same thing. Islam had to be saved from the clutches of the Salims. So somehow they had to stand up in protection of Deen, protection of Islam. And they did whatever they needed to do. They strove, they worked hard. And Allah Ta'ala showed them the glory at that time. Many ulama-i kiram participated. Al-Mawla Mazhar, that is the founder of Mazahirul Ulum, he participated in the jihad. So someone asked him, we see you repeatedly that you lick your upper lip. You know, you lick your upper lip all the time. What is this secret? What is this story? He says, I was in the jihad and I was wounded, so I fell down. And in that state of subconsciousness, I saw the hoors of Jannah, and they are passing some type of a green drink in a beautiful goblet, and they are passing it on. They are passing it on, and one was just about to pass it on to me, and she brought it just to my lip. The other one told me, "Yeto shahid tohwani, he is not yet martyred. Can't pass it on to him." So she pulled it away. But he says that was so magnificent, it was so much out of this world. Up till now, so many years have passed, 20, 30 years have passed, I still feel the sweetness of that. And when I'm overawed with that picture of that fool and what she had offered me, just to appease myself, I still find that taste. I just taste that. So one step into the next realm, and this whole thing, this whole story, this whole world is tasteless. Because Allah has blocked it off, so we don't realize the sweetness of that sight. This ulama ikram, Shaykh and Buzurgan Adin, that started off Tanabun for Hadithat Rahmatullah Ali. Magnificent group of people. What great people, glorious people. On one side you got Hadithat, you got Sheikh Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, you got Al-Mu'ad and Goy Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and the likes of Samin Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So they're all going in the same direction. But Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was first birth to some Sheikh Nasir Sahib, Nasir Chirab. And he had Khilafat for him. And the Sheikh had passed away. And Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali found that I still need to carry on progress, get to where I need to get to. And when the Sheikh passed away, so he's in a state of anxiety now, what must I do? I need to continue this journey. I must move on, I must continue with this journey. And my Sheikh is gone, now what do I do? So he saw a dream where Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had guided him to Haji Nur Muhammad Saad Janjani. So nonetheless now, he's got the name, but he doesn't know what to do. I got the name now, but what to do? And he's in a state of anxiety, what to do? When one day, one of his ustads, Shah Qalandar Sahib Jalalabadi, saw him in the state, that, see, teri matlab ki cheez lohari mein mil jayegi. What you are in search of, you will find it in lohar. So he says, I heard that straight away, barefoot I walked. I was in such a state of anxiety, I walked barefoot. Then I saw Haji Nur Muhammad Sahib, and I knew exactly this was the person that was shown by Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I went straight, fell onto him. So Haji Nur Muhammad Sahib understood what was going on. He says to him, Aapko apne khab ki baaton par is qadar yaqeen hai, you've got so much of confidence in your dream. So whatever it is, but now I come to you. There, dar pe aaya, I've come to your door. There's no story of me turning away from here. And Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi was ushered immediately into bayat, etc., and carried on. In the meanwhile, Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi and Hafiz Zamin Sahib Rahmatullahi had enjoyed a very close friendship, extremely. And there was an agreement that, you know, we need to complete this path here. And the Sheikh that you go to and you discover, you let me know, so that both of us will connect and link. But now, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah was so consumed with love, mahabbat, and the sweetness of this path, that he forgot to mention this and discuss it with his friends. Anyway, Abbas Zamin Sahib Patron said, but wasn't this about him? I forgot about it, before I could go in. So they both went. Hadith Sahib was admitted straight away to Bayat. Hafiz Zamin Sahib stood there and he requested Bayat. But Miyaji Nur Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi did not take him on straight away. Anyway, he did his part. He kept on presenting himself at the presence of Hazrat Haji Nur Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Kept on presenting himself. After a couple of good days, and he asked him, Ji, Hafiz Zamin Sahib, tumhara kya irada? Mera to wahi irada hai. What was my original intention? This is my intention now presently. Baqi, biyat ki darkhas karna, dusri martaba, main isko khilaf-e-adab samajhta. I considered this against adab, therefore I haven't made this request for the second time. Made it once, you know about it, I know about it, Allah Pak knows about it. But now to go on asking for the second time and the third time, then I found it to be khilaf adab, therefore I just kept quiet. See, in this part, the thing that is looked very much at is the adab, the level of adab that the person has got. So because this is a path that is linking you up to Allah Ta'ala. He is the guide, he is taking you along. But now, what level of confidence and respect you have for him? So, to proportionately to the extent of your adab, your love, your respect, your confidence, and you are just escalating. That's how it works. Whoever escalated, whoever moved up, he moved up because of this, these basic ingredients. And if we think, no, that's outdated, then perhaps we are outdated. The same ingredients that worked for them work for us today. In the presence of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu used to be seated on the right, Umar radiyallahu anhu on the left. And the rest of the Sahaba kiram were in between. And Hazrat Rasulullah would look at Abu Bakr or Umar at time, and they would smile at each other. But the rest of the Sahaba kiram say that we didn't have the courage to look at Rasulullah straight on the face. The level of respect. They didn't say it to themselves. But you see, Abu Bakr can do it, Umar can do it. So, nahnu sahabiyun wa annahum sahabiyun. We are sahabas and they are sahabas, so we are all the same. They didn't say that. So this level of respect was something very unique in them. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is asked about Al-Qama and Aswad. There's two students of Ibn Mas'ud al-Yarhu. He asked him that who was greater, Al-Qama or Aswad. He says, I find myself at a position where I'm not even worthy of taking the names, let alone making a comparison between them. You see, this a level of respect, this shows what their hearts were like. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah is teaching his class, and he comes across the name of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. And some students, they didn't show from the facial expression, you could see that they didn't want to hear about Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So upset he was that he stopped teaching them for approximately a month. What is all this? This is adab. So they held their teachers, their seniors in that esteem. So hence that escalation also was at that speed. So at the respect that they had, the love that they had, the confidence that they had, they didn't look right, they didn't look left, but they just kept on moving. I was reading the tafsir today. سأصرف عن آياتي الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق. The ones that have pride, arrogance, right? Then Allah Pak says, I will turn them away from my knowledge. Knowledge can be two knowledge. One is the zahiri knowledge, one is the batini knowledge. لكل آيَةٍ ظَهْرٌ وَبَطْنٌ. Every verse has that. It has a surface meaning, it has a deep meaning. Right? So both the meanings are close to who? You are an iota of pride. You think something of yourself. Despise someone else. So this is visible, the way you talk, interact, socialize, talk, etc. So you want to put yourself up, and the next person, you want to push him down. So this carries on and carries on. But Allah Pak is watching, Allah Pak is knowing. The Shaykh gets to know what's going on. He will notify you, this is what is going on. But then it's left to the individual. Right? These things are the blockages, the impediments on the road. And when these things are the impediments on the road, then you can't progress. No matter what you do, what you try, and how you look at it, but you can't just progress. One alim, I think his name was Mawlana Qasim Sahib. So he had a heavy penalty. He was a government man. But for some reason, something, whatever happened, and it was a big fine, a couple of millions, right? If you created today's rands and currency, a couple of good millions, he was. Now, where must he get the money from? That's the amount of money was tight, and he's got a fine, he has to pay them. So he's going here, there, for dua. Eventually he went up to Hazrat Fazlur Rahman Ganj Murandabadi Rahmatullahi, that I got a problem and I want you to make dua for me. Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Murandabadi was a great Sahib Kashif. So he looked down and he says, Jab aap kahan ke hain? He said, I come from Saharanpur district. Right? Why did you come here? Mohabbat mujhe khinch le aaya. It was my love for you that brought me here. So Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi says that your dua, if I make and everybody makes dua, it's not going to work out. Your problem is with Darulum Dioban. You hurt someone there. Mawlana Qasim Sahib or whoever it was, you hurt someone there. Until you don't go and sort that out, everything is going to be pending in suspense. You go and sort this thing out, then the things will start working out for you. See this, Asrifu an ayati alladhin yatakabbarun. This is that impediment on the road that stops all the progress. What is required is just break yourself, bust yourself. No matter what heights you have escalated to. Rajiv Muhammad Siyullah Sabah says, Sayyid Suleiman Sahib Nadwi had come to Thana Bhawan. He says, I'm teen char khadim te. There's three, four of us were there. There's nobody else. And when you talk of Sayyid Suleiman Sahib Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh, he was such a person, as he's writing about him, that he is respected in the colleges, in the universities, in the madrasas, in the Arabs, in the non-Arabs, every circle is recognizing him and respecting him. But somehow he landed in Thana Bhawan and Mawlana showed him the respect. One is because he's a Sayyid coming from the family of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then for his knowledge, etc., Mawlana showed him the respect, showed him the love. So he accompanied him to the railway station, and at the railway station now he's asking, I want some advice. So at some point, a person begins to realize that something is missing, something is off. Then the realization only comes to the person who doesn't have pride. But if he has pride, then the thing stops. You know what? So what? You see, most of the scientists that became atheists, what was the reason? The reason was that they felt to themselves that we are intelligent ourselves, then why must we believe in a God that He is the beginning of everything? So there it will be a blow to our dignity. We accepted a God. It will be against our pride. So we must pass this concept here, not go with the flow. Can't go with the flow. It must be something unique. You go with the flow, that means we lost our respect. So that same thing that came to Shaitan came to the scientist. Shaitan also says, man, why must I bow down? Why must I bow down? And then that was the catalyst to his destruction, his ruin. Nonetheless, we're talking about Tabiz Zamin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Right? So he carried on. And then Haji Nur Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali accepted him for bayat. Now, coming back to this Thana Bhawan, this was like the headquarters, Khanqa, and everything sprung up from here. Then went to Dioban, wherever it went, right? It started off from this point. So, Hafiz Zamin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, people would come because they heard of Buzurg here. Haji Sahib, Haji Abdullah Sahib, heard about him here. So, a lot of people would come with duas, etc. And he will be at the entrance. He's also a very, very high rated buzurg. Very high rated buzurg. But he will be at the entrance. Ali Sahib will be inside. And there will be Sheikh Muhammad Sahib. There was an Ali. So now he's at the entrance that people are going through. So they'll come and ask him first. He says, see, if you want fatwa, then there is the Sheikh Muhammad Sahib. You go to him. If you want Islah and you want to take bayat, there's Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah, go up to him. Aur baki dosto ke saath baith karke hukka peena ho, to yahan par baith jao. You will pull hukka, sit with me, and we'll enjoy ourselves.
But he kept himself so much undercover, nobody knew. Nobody knew that this is the man. He covered himself, nobody. Truly now, Hazrat Muhammad Shafi Sahib says, the past was such, the person became an alim and nobody knew about it. He was like an encyclopedia of ilm, but so concealed that nobody knew about it. He became a hafiz of nothing. He, between him and Allah, reading one Quran every day, became a hafiz, and nobody knows about it. And today, what happens? There's not only a jalsa, the cards are printed, a gift is given, a card, so-and-so's jalsa, etc. Boy or girl, hafizah, hafiz, to be kept in the almaris. And the Quran said, the tragedy is after all this, the Quran series also are just left in the almaris, left in the cupboards. Ask them how much they recite. Somebody quarter sibar every second day, somebody is reading just Yasin Sharif, and that's the respect they are showing to the Quran Sharif. So it would appear as though all, everything was done just for this day of Jalsa, and after the Jalsa, everything went zero. So whereas the Jalsa was a point where you really need to wake up, start off reciting Quran Sharif now, 2 sipara, 2 3 sipara, 4 sipara, 2 5 sipara. Ya Ahl al-Quran, Allah is saying himself, O people of the Quran Sharif, stand up in tajud, recite the Quran Sharif. You are being addressed personally. You are the one, if you aren't going to do it, who's going to do it? You see, Rasulullah's life was totally different, not like our lives. The lives of the saintly persons and the great persons of the past was different, totally. In the Hajjatul Wida, when Rasulullah has given his final address, then he also reiterated and explained, see this riba and this interest and usury, everything is abolition, cancelled, finished. But then the awwal riba, wada'atuha ala tahta qadami, the first riba that I'm cancelling off, negating all the transaction, the first is what is remaining, the remaining of my uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu. Because Abbas radiallahu anhu just had accepted Islam around that time, around 8th, 9th. He had accepted Islam, and he was a very wealthy person. Prior to the days of Islam, he was a usurer, right? And Rasulullah needs to start off something. He's starting off from his own, my home. So all these loads of interest that are outstanding, we are just cancelling them. Nobody, la tuzlimuna wa la tuzlamun, nor will you do wrong, nor will you be treated wrong. Nobody's going to be treating you wrong. So not one cent you're going to take more. Just a capital amount, and that's it. Then again, there's a question about blood money, right? When it comes to the question of blood money, then Rasulullah announces that whatever the demands of the days of ignorance, I'm cancelling all that off. This riba also, days of ignorance, I'm cancelling it off. This also, blood money, the days of ignorance, I'm cancelling it off. And the first one, the one that is due to our family. One little child was perhaps kept in another family for the breastfeeding, etc. 1 year, 2 years, etc. He was sent there. So there was a tribal war, and a little child came into the crossfire and he was shot down. So the law at that time was you need to pay the blood money. So the first blood money that I'm cancelling is of our own family. In the battle of Khandaq, Sahaba Kiram had complained of hunger. And said that, you see, the hunger, the level of hunger we have got. So Rasulullah's style was not to impress upon his zat. It was not his style. But to show them as a lesson, see what level I am going through. You feel that you're going through a level and a difficulty, but see what difficulty I am going through. He opened up his kurta, or his whatever garment he was wearing, there were 2 stones. That if you are supporting yourself because of hunger with 1 stone, I am supporting myself with 2 stones. So they start off from themselves. If they talk, Rasulullah was encouraged tahajjud and qiyamul layl, then his mubarak feet would swell up because of the length and the duration of the tahajjud namaz. It wasn't that he encouraged and he was sifar, no. So this ulama ka tabqa, the tabqa of alims, what is required of them? The ulama of the past, Ahl al-Quran, Allah is addressing them by Ahl al-Quran. You need to perform the tahajjud namaz. one student is coming to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, and in that zamana there aren't any communal taps, etc. So if a guest has to come in, so you leave the water, show them the toilet, etc., that he needs, that he can use it to get up for tahajjud, and he can help himself. But at the time of Fajr, Imam Ahmad notices that water is like he had kept it. So he was very disappointed. He said, "You, and you being the students of Islam, tomorrow you'll become the ulama of the time, and you are not in the habit of this tahajjud, then what expectations we can have of your following?" Therefore, Imam Sabr rahmatullahi alayhi, when he advised his student, Imam Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, so he says to him that, "See, you come earlier to the masjid and leave a little later. Come earlier, do some sunnahs, and after as well. Because if you're going to be punctual upon your sunnahs and mustahabbat and nafil, then you'll find the people punctual on their sunnahs. If you're going to be only punctual on the sunnahs, they'll be only punctual on the faras. But you're going to do more for all these things here, these people are proportionately going to follow you. To what extent you're doing it?" Now, we're talking of Hafiz Zamin Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. He would very reluctantly accept anybody for bayat. It was not a question of my party and your party. No partisans and artisans. There wasn't that question. He's sending two people to Haji Sahib. Fatwa, etc., go to this one. So that was not the business. The idea was the propagation of Islam. Not my name, not my party, and not my people, not my backing. Islam. I can see now, people go better in this way. Let me just encourage them on that way. So it was absolute ikhlas and absolute sincerity. And because of that absolute level of its sincerity, that you see this kafla and this whole train of Ali Sahib rahmatullah flourishing in this way. So he won't accept it. But then, as the 57 mutiny was about to start, 1 year or something, and now he started accepting people for bayat. And he would say to them, "See, anybody wants to pay the mehr of the hoors of Jannat, see, they're standing on the wall there. This one, that one. And you choose the hoor of your choice, and you take it. But you pay them there. You join up, and you pay them." And then when he's preparing for jihad, then he's dressed up very well. New clothing, everything. He's waiting for the occasion that I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's dressed up for the occasion. He becomes shaheed in that whole encounter that was there. One Syrian buzurg, he saw that qabr of Zamin Sahib rahmatullahi, and he stood there to make some dua. So after the dua, he comes to the people and says, "Bhai, ye kiska qabr hai? Bada zareef tabiyat ka hai. Whose grave is this? This person looks like a very humorous person." So what happened? So when I went there to read something and make dua for him, he said, Jao, Fatiha to murde ke upar padte hai. Go, all his Fatiha and all that, you make dua for the dead. I am alive. Bal ahya'u walakin la tashkurun. The shaheeds are not dead, they are alive. But you can't perceive it. So he saw it, Allah showed it to him, that I'm not dead. You think I'm dead, I'm still alive. So it is just a matter of us building that yaqeen, that one step into the hereafter will make you forget everything here. But just that we don't want to look in that direction. Some month or 2 months back, one black woman passed away. So sometimes the black woman, the black people, etc., we come into contact with them because of the mother, maktab, etc. So apparently she is quite wealthy black woman, respectable, good woman. And she was hospitalized, private hospital, children, everybody could afford it. So Muslim, practicing, right? And then as they're admitting her to the hospital, now she's telling her children, "Now I don't want to come back from this hospital. I don't want to come back. I am just anxious to meet Allah Ta'ala." She's got this covered and all that. Whatever stories, right? So, more interesting than the story is the life ahead. This story seems to be now outdated or a little bit boring, right? But the story ahead, that story that is coming after, that is a more exciting story. It's a black woman, convert, Zulu speaking, and she's saying, hey, no, I don't come back. No, the students are crying. Ma, you can't leave us and go away. He said, no, no, enough now, enough is enough. I am just anxious to meet my Allah Ta'ala. Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. You are looking forward to meet Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is looking forward to meet you. So at that point when you meet Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala just opened up, gave you a glimpse. When he gave you a glimpse, I said, hey, both take away. It's too much now. I don't want this thing anymore. I don't want this anymore. I want to see ahead now. I saw this now. What? Like it's a, you know, the Jannah scene comparison to this life is, you got a mini box car, you know. What do you call it? Mini box. Can I get this? Matchbox car. With a matchbox car, and someone gives you a Ferrari out of the box, 2025 model, full house, absolute, can fly at about 350 km, with a 2 years service plan, 20 million dollar job he gives you. What do you think about me? This is nonsense. This is kachara. What do you say then? But he's giving you this. So Allah gives you that one side of that. One side of that is too much. Say, hey, this is kachra. We can't run after this kachra. Yeah? We need to go after the real thing. That's the real thing. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيْوَانِ. That life only starts there. People say, life starts at 40. Not at 40. Life starts from the grave. See, that death starts off. So for many people, Allah just opens it up. So there's so many things. One woman passed away just now about three, four weeks ago. No, her husband passed away. This woman's husband passed away. So they thought of, it's about 3-4 weeks ago, he passed away. So they thought of burying this woman in the same grave, or the wife's grave. So they uncovered the wife's grave. The wife had passed away 18 years ago. And the body is still the same, absolutely the same, as the day they had buried her. Kafan is not changed. The body is not changed. Absolutely like the time that they had buried her. One woman passed away this last week. I think Umar Sahib, his wife passed away. So, just before, moments before she can pass away, so she texted her children or her Mulana himself. Right? So she's texting him and she's saying, Allah Pak has come 3 times to fetch me. So I heard it from one person. Message was different. Second person heard different. I said, no, you can find out directly from Umar Sahib what was the exact dream. Not dream, it was a message. Allah Pak has come 3 times to fetch me. Now I want to go now, please, just leave me, I want to go now. Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. She asked the nurse, just give me a bath, help me to have a bath. I'm going to meet my Rabb now. See that? See that next life. The next life. That is the real life. That is where we need to score. What we need to look forward to. But because we can't see beyond, we just think, now this is the reality or not. Na'uzubillah, that's how we are made to think. So absorbed, that we begin to feel that this is the reality. Whereas, you know, in my understanding, when I see things going around in this day and time, that a person left this world with izzat, with iman, right? Iman properly. He died with iman, salamat. I say you, it's better than a trillion, if not a gazillion lives. If salamat, iman you left with, I say it's better than a gazillion lives. With so many things going on, right? The man's mind is in a turmoil. It's like a kachumar. It's like a, not a kachumar, but like a chutney. Grounded. He doesn't know where to turn, becoming despondent, depressed, right? But now with salamat, with afiyat, izzat, Allah Pak has taken him away. It's a different thing. Allah Pak is showing it to us. But I got this. Now, what forced that woman? The woman was wealthy, she had everything. She's not poor, she's got no needs, she's happy with her husband, no marital problems, no children problems. But what's forcing her to make this type of statements that Allah Pak himself has come to fetch me 3 times? And now just give me a ghusl now, because I want to meet Allah Ta'ala. And then in a few moments she's gone. But then I looked, I tried to see now, What are the common feature in all these people? There must be something for them to have earned this type of a reward, right? So the common thing I found that they were simple in their approach. They were not school trained. If school, maybe basic, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, max grade 5, not school trained in all these women, right? Number two is they were very simple in their approach. The iman, the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was never shaken, never altered. Because of simplicity, they were not school educated, so they didn't have to look at WhatsApp, social media, and SMS. They didn't have to look at all that. So their faith and iman was not altered in the least. Because they didn't know how to access these things here. Simple people, they didn't know how to access these things here. So the iman, etc., was absolutely pure, clean, unadulterated, unpolluted. Nothing changed. And the third thing I found in all these women, they were very kind and very soft. You know, for a woman sometimes in those days, I know it was a little difficult thing. They had to endure a lot of things, sometimes financial, whatever else. But they had to endure. But in all that, they were very enduring, very caring, very, very kind. Very kind. You can't leave until you have meals. That woman will take it personally. You must have a meal and then you go. Right. And then some unexpected mehman come in. It's a delight for them. Say, but these guys just come in here so inconsiderate. You know, it's our party time now. They just come and rock up here like this. No, not like that. So in all these women here, when I study them, I see this was their features. Very respectful to the husbands. So these three, four features and where it takes these people here. Respectful, very simple, kind, courteous. Now Allah Pak likes these things here. Ayyul mu'min afdal, which mu'min is best? Anfa'ulin nas. Who is an asset? He's a beauty, he's an asset. He does for people. People don't know about it, but quietly he does something here, he does something for this person, for that person. Makes it work, right? And if it's a person's problem, his personal problem, just try and sweep it, just brush it aside. Not make a story of it, right? We know it's his problem, so we will not make a story of it, and we will not advertise, we will not go and embarrass that person. Somehow just brush it aside, class, carry on. We carry on like normal. The quiet will try and advise the person, but not despise him. But now, this was the quality of this woman of the past. Advise quietly, discreetly, just see how we can work out some plan for him. Let's do the thing, quietly we'll do it. I know of people that should do it. I've heard from women personally. And these women were in constraints, financial constraints. But they knew there's another family, or there's a friend, or there's a neighbor, and they are in more constraints. Or that son needs to get married. And because he needs to get married, he needs to give some type of a jewelry. Right? So they will put themselves into some constraint, do this, make some adjustment to their life, accumulate some money, and pass it off. But they were living very simple lives, not big elaborate businesses. But then the concern was, alright, this person here, what do we do for him? This person here, what do we do for them? See, this aspect of kindness, courtesy, etc., etc. This was like the nature, the tabiat. It was the tabiat to show courteousness. We got the wealth, let's see what we can do. This is a cousin, this is a friend, this is an uncle. Alright, we need to set him up. Let's see how we can set him up. And then we don't give reminders of our generosity. No, we set him up. You know what he was? He was nothing, tall drums. And we put him up. No. It's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did it and they forgot it. They did it and they forgot it. And they didn't do it for one person, hundreds of people. So this was the common thing. Now in the face of all these things here, what are we supposed to be doing? So I thought about it today, I was thinking about what should be done. So three things have come to my mind by the fazl of Allah ta'ala. Grace of Allah Ta'ala. One is with the deaths, etc., we need to help. Someone is sick, or someone is dying, or someone is dead. Right? Sick, dying, or dead. We need to help. You can see another person is sick. Right? So we need to go and encourage the families or the person that is sick and ill, encourage the person. Somehow, if you can't go to the hospital because of some restrictions, somehow encourage a message or something. Through someone, via but we send the message, give him a note of encouragement, not to bust the person and push him down. He's going now, and you're busting him more. Yeah, you didn't wear that mask, therefore this is happening. But is that the time to say these things? That's not the time. We don't want to go into the whole controversy whether putting on or putting on, not putting on, right? That's another controversial thing. But was that the time? Because if you look at the stats, it's about the same. Those that wore the mask, they die. And those that didn't wear the mask, they are dying also. When I was here some days ago, so he's telling me that in his masjid, the one man, from the beginning of the lockdown till the end, the first one, you know, he didn't come out of his house, no Jummah, not meeting anybody, even the food is passed to him. Absolutely nothing. No meeting, no, zero meeting. And he caught it very bad. But luckily for him, I suppose, Qalbin Sari, he had a good heart, you see. See what Allah looks at the heart, how good the heart is. When he saw, hey, I maintained all the precautionary steps, and you know, nothing I left out, distancing, not going to masjid, not meeting, my food is also passed to me, I'm eating in isolation, and I caught him. So now he went to the next extreme. Now there is a namaz, that is reading with Jamaat. Every namaz, shoulder to shoulder, no mask. Well, when there's a requirement to put the mask, he put on the mask. But now he went to the, I'm tired of this thing enough. Now I'm coming for every namaz. Very prominent, wealthy person, but from one extreme to the other extreme. So, someone is not feeling well, encourage the person. Don't talk these stories here of controversy. Stories of encouragement. You can bring the person up. When you can bring the person up, why must you push him down? Don't talk of these stories here. That will push the person down. Sometimes you're doing this just to score points. See, my suggestion was stronger than your suggestion. My view was stronger than yours. You, therefore, now see what's happening. Are we trying to push the person down, not to lift up his spirits? Many times, it's a psychological thing, right? When it's a psychological thing, if you just get the person right psychologically, you can come out of his sickness, 70-80% you can come out. But now in the sickness, you're saying, you must distance yourself. You must put the mask. Nobody must sleep next to you. You must check out. And if you're eating in the wimpy now, you must put your mask and put like that. No germs must come. All this, the most ridiculous things you're talking about. The ridiculous thing. So don't talk, that's not a time to talk about this. Now there's more important things to talk about. Why should we talk about these things here? It will break people's spirit. They got a little bit of endurance. Psychologically they are well. Just strengthen them up. And once they strengthen up, the iman, the yaqeen will improve. The relationship with Allah will improve. The understanding will grow. They'll take things in perspective. But now the man is falling now, pushing down. He's falling. So sometimes it's his fault because of the associates. Sometimes it is his fault because of what he's listening to. Keep on listening to all his messages. He keeps on listening to it. So that which was just a speculation becomes a reality. If it was just a speculation, it was just a guess talk, conjecture, right? Now it became a reality. Because the amount of messages that you're listening all the time, yeah, this happened to this person. But it's not a time to discuss this thing. And I tell them at home also, please, when I'm eating, don't talk about this thing. If I need to go and help out, I'll help out. But let me eat nicely. After I've eaten, it is my time to rest. Don't talk about this thing. Because I may just not be able to eat or not to sleep. Whatever has to be done, we'll do it in time. But that's not the time to discuss these things. So he had the Indian finance minister. Finance, you can imagine how big. And he came to him. He used to come to duas, for duas to him as well. I don't know, I was in India, so I know what goes there. Even Indira Gandhi used to come to the Sheikh Uladis Ramadhan for duas. Right? So he came for duas. So here he says that minister is asking Mawla Abrar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Fala Sahib bimar the, unki tabiat kaisi hai? So and so sick, how is he doing? So Mawla is replying, Mawla's style is different, unique. So he says, Minister Sahib, ye khane ke adab ke khilaaf hai. Khane ke waqt isi baat nahi karni chahiye. Minister Sahib, you know, this is against the etiquette of eating. At the time of eating, you're not supposed to be discussing these things. But now, Mawla is very firm, very strong, very firm. What is supposed to be said, he'll say it. Minister Sahib there, or Minister Sahib's dada there. But he will say what he needs to say. But you enjoy it. You know, why you enjoy it is man is saying straight. He's coming out straight, telling you what to be done. Now the diplomacy is such that you go in circles, so many circles, that many a times you're missing the point. Circle upon circle, circle upon circle. Now the Muslim is trying to get to understand what the man is trying to drive at. Yeah, Muhammad tells, see it, and see it straight. End of the story. Now it'll take your time to digest, but you know what's the problem. So one is those people that are ill, and we make a plan how to help them, how to assist under the circumstances, right? Whatever is going on, how to give them a note of hope, right? At any given time. And everybody, a lot of people can do it, right? Sometimes a person needs oxygen, right? And now the basic things we can learn it from the doctor, right? It's a basic thing that he requires. Someone bought a kit now, or he needs this, you learn from the doctor, right? What to do, what are the symptoms, and how you administer the machine. Now 3-4 brothers got together, one person learned it properly, someone is falling sick, and they're going to administer that machine. What a relief. Talking good things, learning how to operate that machine, giving, or it comes to the level where it's complicated, then you consult a doctor. Preferable, get a doctor into the Jamaat. You can really liaise with him, all right, now, how do you do it now? But at an odd time now, one person is on call, all right, I can help. Any Muslim, any person, even a non-Muslim, but let's go and help out. How can we do it? How can we make things work? Now, people, Muslims, etc., they feel so positive. This person is not getting into all these controversial things. He's trying to help out. Instead of getting into these useless discussions, for or against, he is getting into something that is concrete, something that is constructive, is helping out. Someone has died now, what is to be done then, from that point, right? From that point, how to do the ghusl, how to help out, till the burial, yesterday or something. Getting this complaint coming regular, that time also, now also. Now at the burial, there's only 2%, 1-2% to do the cover. Now, what a pathetic situation. Not even the sons are coming there. See, when you go to these extremes, you know, don't touch, don't go near, right, then this is the aftermath. Right. Who started it off? Now, must understand, you're going to start this off, isolation, total isolation, that you won't have anybody to fill your grave up. Nobody to do your ghusl. Right. Nobody to put on your kafan. But you go with moderation, everything works out. You go to that extreme, very extreme, then this is the end. And you get these complaints coming up again. Again and again, you're getting it. Nobody. In this week here, 2 people in charge of this mayor, they can, well, can you offer some students? There's nobody to do the ghusl. Nobody to come to the Qabristan. Can you offer some? See that? Well, now, when you stretch this to the extremes, then this is the aftermath. Now imagine now you think, oh, my father, this is the type of funeral we gave him. Do you feel nice? Does your conscience feel nice? So how to manage the person? And preferably get through some doctor that is very experienced. He's not into just blindly following, but he's checking into this properly, experience, understanding, and he'll show you a very easy way. Instead of pushing everybody and anybody to hospital and let him die in isolation. Now, how can we manage this person here? What do we do? Death and life is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. If he's meant to die, he will die. Nobody can avoid it. If he's meant to live, he will live. But why kill him before he can die? Leave him in isolation. We're getting cases now coming up that they're not even allowing the person to communicate. He can't even communicate. They take away the phones. The phone is taken from the person, you can't even communicate. But now, such isolation. In the meanwhile, the moment, one Mulana was there in the hospital, came Allah gave him a full recovery. But he said, hey, no phone, nothing. And I can just hear groaning, people shouting, grasping for breath, nobody to give them assistance. Private hospitals. But you see now, if we learn, some people, 3-4 people, one doctor, understand, experience. How do we manage the person nicely, properly, comfortably? How can we do it? Moderately, don't take extreme steps. So this is, one is before, one is at the time, one is after death. These are things that we can do. We can help out. Help out the community, help out people in the community, outside the community, at any given time. So if 4 or 5 people get together, they can do things, they can work out. See, Islam, I won't be exaggerating if I say, that Rasulullah 70%, 80% of his life is just on ikram, akhlaq, good mannerisms, good ways. When the person needs you, then you don't shy away from helping the person at his side, giving some word of hope, bringing the person's spirit up. So that was Rasulullah's style. Now, are we on the same pattern of moving away from the pattern? Now I'm just worried about my namaz, that's all, even live in isolation, don't touch anybody, sanitize or satanize, whatever, just do that. So are we going on the right side or shifting from there? His way was akhlaq, good manners and good words, picking the person up. Who knows, Rasulullah is going to meet a Jewish boy. And there also, he doesn't lose hope. He extends the invitation. The Jewish lad is seeing Rasulullah's akhlaq, his ways, so beautiful, mannerism, such good. And then straight away he accepts Islam. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anqazahu bi minan nar. That Allah saved him from Jahannam because of the da'wah. I extended the da'wah to him. But then it was his akhlaq, his ways, his mannerism that counted as well. That he saw Rasulullah so closely. Man can't be wrong. See that mannerism, that ways. Although I'm giving some shots below the belt, right? It's wrong of me. But you mustn't talk about it. See, this is a internal thing. Internal thing, you talk some things that are a little bit off, right? But now the problem now is, whatever you talk, someone is passing it on, coming viral, going here, there, everywhere. Allah maaf kare. Something that is kept, supposed to be kept closed shop, right? If you're talking closed shop, you talk a little bit freely. Right? If you talk freely, you're not supposed to be quoting this anywhere and everywhere. Right? Now, what are we supposed to be to explain that, right? Now, the second thing is, what are the primary causes for this type of a phenomenon, right? You know, they call it a pandemic, right? When it reaches global proportions, then you call it a pandemic, right? Sickness, a calamity, but it has extended global proportions, then you call this, right? So what are the causes to bring this type of things? So we spoke so much about, you know, mask and all these things, yeah? But the actual cause that is bringing and attracting the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, did we get into it? What we're supposed to be doing? One is, what are the actual causes that bring about this type of a situation? So in my understanding, there are about three or four things. Allah knows best, but in the light of the Quran and Hadith, I came across three or four things that bring about this type of a situation. One is this, pornography, right? From photography to pornography. Now, the Hadith is saying, جَنِّبْنَا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Allah Pak, save us from all type of indecent behavior, open or discreet. Now, we are not getting involved openly, but how many of us can say that we are absolutely safe from discreet? Accidental or deliberate? You know, the phone, something is happening, and something is getting tarnished here, it's getting stained here. So now it's an accidental look. Alright? You can see now, there's a bump here, right? There's a hump here. Accidental, now you just cross the thing. You damage your suspension. Second time, costing you 50, 60,000 rand. You'll do it again. It's an accidental thing, so no guna for that. But will you not exercise caution after that? That money is valued in your sight. But your iman, what value is supposed to be attaching to your iman? If money is valuable, then iman is it not valuable? You just knock and knock and knock. And that is knocking your heart. The iman is getting dented. So the seriousness of the imani matters they're not serious any longer inside. So the seriousness is gone. So anything that is amounting to indecency, anything, whether it's LG or BG or CG, whatever G, right? But it's amounting to any type of indecent conduct, whether it's open or secret, discreet or open, to avoid this thing as much as we can. Whether it's just an article, whether it is a photo, whether it's whatever, but this actually brings about the wrath of Allah. Because the Hadith says it clearly. You don't want to fulfill your wealth obligations, zakat, etc. Allah Ta'ala will withhold your wealth. The rains, droughts, everything will be a decrease in that, shortage. That is when you're not fulfilling your obligations. Financial obligation, Allah will withhold that. And if you get into indecency, Allah Ta'ala will spread plagues, diseases. This Hadith says, plagues and diseases will come when you become indecent. That type of behavior, that warrants this type of a consequence. Now this is directly from the creator of the universe. He is saying this, right? Yeah, it's just still speculation that this was the cause and this Gates and that person was the cause, whatever. That is just speculation. And this is a fact. There can't be any doubt about it. It's absolute. It's a fact. That you're going to be doing this thing here, it's going to come. It's going to come and smash you down. Don't take any vaccination, inoculation, that's going to happen. Because, أَمِنْتُمْ أَيُّعِيدَكُمْ فِيهِ تَارَةً أُخْرَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala sent one wave, second wave. He can send a wave 50 times strong. What are you going to do? You try to save, you put one injection here, this thing here. You try to save that. He can send something with that amount of strength. What are you going to do? He sends one is a flood, right? Tornado, right? Then you get this, can I get this move? A tsunami, right? Who can save himself from a tsunami? So, Allah Pak is Qadir, he can do it. Now, the way we went and did it, we didn't think about it. No, Allah Pak, nauzubillah, we are thinking like this, that Allah Pak lost control. We should be doing this and that, whatever. But it is He that gives life, He that takes life. He is control of the universe. Nobody can give, nobody can take. That is our iman. But now we kept this iman so low profile that we begin to feel that all this disease and the doctor and the hospital, every yakin is on that. And we remove Allah Ta'ala from the equation. I say, is that right to the iman? Are we appreciative to the iman? So this is the first thing. The second thing that brings about this type of a consequence, in my understanding, is when we leave out Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar. You know, we must be keep encouraging good, stopping the bad. I don't go out in Jamaat, but my greatest support, greatest moral support from the Jamaat. Sometimes it's more than the madrasa, that I'll support these people here. Whichever way I'll try to support, I'll try to support. I know why I do it. Because it's about only Jamaat that is doing it, you know, that Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar. But they're doing it, somehow they're doing it. Going here, listening to that person's abuse, losing rest, not sleeping at time, not eating the home comfortable food, etc. But they are going, they're doing it. They're doing it. So, if we can't do it, then at least support them, encourage them. Give them some words of compliments. Don't push them down. Because they're doing something to stop the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. They're doing it, internationally they're doing it, and to stop the wrath of Allah, calling this person here. Sometimes I get tired. They go and call you one person 50 times. They don't get tired. They'll go, patawa him, as though it is like, you know, you're doing them a favor coming to the masjid. They will do it like that. They will take it like that. You're doing them a favor coming to the masjid. So, this is the second thing that brings about this type of a thing. And internationally they're doing it. All right, now it's restrained, but they're doing it. Whichever way they can do it, they're doing it. They're doing it. The elders, mashwara, etc. They are doing it. Now we leave this thing out, and then we are inviting this. Now it doesn't mean if they are doing it, we shouldn't do it within our capacity. Within our capacity, we're supposed to be doing it. It's not only their work. Within our capacity, our children, our home, our friends, right? Our families. Aren't we talking to them about masks? If we talk about people, to people about masks, can't we talk to them about deen? We can talk to them about mask, but can't we talk to them about deen then? If we can talk to them about mask, then all the more we should be talking to them about deen. If this is important, then this is your life. Iman is your life. It's your akhirah. It's your eternity. So we can talk respectfully, with a little bit of ikram. We shared some tea with the person, gave them some musas, spoke to the person nicely. You will listen to him. Oh, it's such a beautiful experience. You know, talk to us with so much of respect and so much of love. Put some samosa, put some tea, some cold drink on a hot day, right? And you spoke to him, right? Don't do this thing. Do it like this. He feels respected, but you got the word of Allah Ta'ala across. That Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar. You're not going to do it. The hadith is warning. You will make all of you make dua at the Multazam, Shab Qadr. Nothing happened. Everything getting cancelled. You're not doing it. So everything is getting cancelled. So do it yourself to the capacity, to the extent that you can do it. And to the extent that you can't do it, others that are doing it, encourage them. Encourage them. Call them. Encourage them. Do ikram for them. They have a love for you. They'll want to come and do it. Your whole area will get saved, right? So this Amar bin Ma'ruf Nahi Munkar, encourage them. Jamaat that is doing it. Wherever they're doing it, encourage them. And try and increase. Wherever you can cooperate, you can't join for 40 days or 4 months. One night, one day. Just go and spend some time. Or take some food. Say, no, today the food I will arrange and I will bring it. How nice they feel here. They don't need your food. But that gesture of kindness, muhabbat, that love, generating muhabbat, what a great thing. You don't know that in the jama'ah there may be one pious person. He may just make dua for you and your whole family, your khandan will go right. You know, there is one muhaddis, I think his title is Riasiya Huasiya. But he says, I got the luck, you know, I became a great muhaddis in my khandan, my whole family. We used to prepare something like a paya, you know. There was a restaurant business that we had. And I saw one muhaddis or some alim, and I entertained him nicely with respect, free of charge, everything. As long as you are here, I will take care of you. And he made dua. When he made dua, that thing just flowed in my khandan for so many generations. So if you can't do it, you'll be cooperating with this person, helping him out, hiding the person's faults, trying to work with him, support him, push him, make him do the thing, make it happen. Whichever way we can cooperate, whichever way we can support and push the thing. It mustn't be that my name, otherwise nothing. Me, otherwise nothing. My way or highway, not that way. If he's doing it right, they're doing it with the mashwara of senior ulama ikram and Juzuganadin, they can't be off the cause. So this is the second cause, second reason for this thing happening. The third reason, it's a major catastrophe. If you will, my position, you'll understand how major it is. Because you're not here listening to the calls and seeing the emails. It's justification. Simple thing is justification. We do anything and justify. No, that kitab got this. And so that Mona says this. And Mufti so-and-so says this. And he says this. So this justification program. Anything wrong, right, mixing it up with a kachumar. Instead of saying, you know, ma haka fi sadri. What is not easy in your heart, bhai? Wa in aftakal muftun. Even if this will tell you something. But is that clear in your heart? Do you have the clarity? About 7 years ago, one big delegation came into the office. The time the office was on this side, 7-8 years ago. Big delegation, all high profile, Durban's all wealthy people, extremely wealthy people. He brought in a person from Kashmir. And he was doing something, whatever he was doing. So he said, I want to show you some of the work that I'm doing. So I thought, all right. He had a laptop. So I thought maybe some syllabus or something. There, he started on video. He said, hey, close this up. Please, for the sake, I spoke firmly. Those wealthy people that were around, they didn't feel too nice. I said, you can take your feelings, keep your feelings for yourself. But this, I'm not going to allow it. He said, no, but Mufti Taqi Sahib allowed it. He's telling me. I said, but Mufti Taqi Sahib's father disallowed it. If he allowed it, his father disallowed it. And his father was instructed by the Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi to write a kitab in refutation. If he allowed it, his father disallowed it. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi made iltizam. That any controversial thing, I'm not going to write on it. I'm going to talk about it. So according to me, it wasn't a controversial thing. It was a muttafaq alayh thing. Therefore, that prompted him to write. And he's writing as per the instructions of his ustad, the Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. And then the prominent ulama of that time, Sayyid Sulaiman, they spoke about him, right? Abul Kalam Azad, very famous ulama and orators of India. They made open retractions, right? Now this justification problem, anything justified, interest justified, banks justified, women going to school and university justified. Because now your wife is going to get sick. Who's going to look at her? So justify. Any wrong, haram, anything but justify it. Now this halal and haram, you justify that. It's a very dangerous game. I see, it's a very, very dangerous game. With the work of Allah Ta'ala, don't play games. Rather say, Allah, I can't do it. I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm weak. My limitation. But you go into a justification. I ask you, what will be the difference between you and a bidati? A bidati does a bidat, right? Does he make toba for it? Are you going to do this type of things? Are you going to make toba for it? You're standing before Allah Ta'ala, and if Allah Ta'ala were to ask you, that my Rasul said this, Ashaddu Nasi Azaban, what answer do you got? What answer do you have then? Do you have any answer? So put yourself just before Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is asking, what answer do you have at that time? So this third thing is this justification. Somehow justify, strategize, and make it permissible, make it work. Right? Now, I showed you hadiths for the first, for the second. For the third one now, when they went to justify what happened. The Bani Israel, they were stopped from fishing on a Sabbath, on a Saturday. They were strategized, made a plan this way, that way. And they made it happen that we will not pull the fish out on a Saturday, we will pull it out on a Sunday. They strategized. فَلَمَّا أَتَوْ أَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْهُ قُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِينَ. When they were blatant about the whole thing, they went and did all these things here. The Labak transformed them into apes. See, this wholesale punishment comes like this. So if you can't do it, say, my limitation, I can't do it. I don't have to run the person down. The personality is a buzuk. We don't punish. It's an error. Right? The deen doesn't work on majority and minority. لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث. ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث. Abundance of wrong, of filth, doesn't make a wrong a right. The wrong will remain a wrong. The right will remain right. But that abundance of wrong doesn't make the wrong right. It's wrong, it's wrong. Khalas. I can't do it. It's my personal limitation, personal weakness, and therefore I can't do it. But because of so much of people saying this, that wrong doesn't become a right. Now that means thou have to leave out all the Mubarak ahadith of Rasulullah SAW and make up a cover-up story for one single person. Is that fair to the words of Rasulullah? So, identifying with the major causes of this problem, from photography to pornography. See where it starts off. And then from that to justification. I'm hearing of so many people passing away, right? And the message they're giving on, I don't want to relate all that, the message they're giving on is, by admit the wrong as wrong, halal as halal and haram. That is the trial of the zamana. The trial of the zamana, regard the haram as haram, regard the halal as halal. Don't mix up. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Don't even come close to the limits. Right? Now, these are the three things that we have to carve ourselves again. Now, what we're supposed to be doing, I showed what the causes. What we're supposed to be doing is, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. That Allah tries you with constraints, decreasing crops, wealth, etc. وَالضَّرَّ, sicknesses, diseases. He tries you sometime with constraints, sometime with diseases, sicknesses, plague, etc. But what he wants of you, he wants of you to cry. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. میرے سامنے آ کر کے جھکے, گر گر آئے, cry to me. Correct your ways, make tawbah. Cry to me, I will reverse all this. فَلَوْلَا إِذْدَعُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُ. When the calamity struck, why didn't they come down on their knees and cry to me, that I may avert, I may remove that? So Allah is saying, but you're not doing this, how is it going to be averted? You cry, you come and cry to me, correct your ways, I will remove this. I'm in control, nobody's in control. I'm supreme control, in a second I can remove this. So what we're supposed to be doing is crying to Allah Ta'ala, begging His forgiveness, coming on the right, rather than justifying and carrying on in that life that we are used to. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.